your pew Bible this morning, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, and then we're going to flip to the book of Luke. And so this message this morning, if you are following closely, you'll notice that I have two titles that I had to bring together because we had a snow day here a few weeks ago, and that kind of interrupted my plan just a little bit. But so I put these two messages together this morning. Now don't worry, it's not twice as long, okay? So I don't want you to think that. So I condensed it greatly. So the title is The Always Pursuing and Restoring God. And so you're going to get, it's going to be flipped a little bit this morning. So I'm going to read from Jeremiah, and that's going to be the restoring part. And the pursuing part's going to come out of the book of Luke. And so that's where I'm kind of going to start with. But I'm going to start with the pursuing, and then we're going to finish with the restoring, but we're going to read the scriptures accordingly, okay? So the book of Jeremiah. You guys know that Jeremiah was a prophet. And it is a very, Jeremiah is quite the prophet, and but we're going to begin at verse 18, and it's called At the Potter's House, and we're going to read the first six verses. So this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you? Now here's where, this morning I was reading this, and this is what I want you to do. When I read this, I want you to put your name in there, all right? So I'm going to put my name in there, but I want you to put your name in there. Now listen to what that says. He said, can I not do with you, Rob, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Rob. See how that changes things? When you put yourself in there. All right, let's go to the book of Luke this morning. Luke chapter 15. I'm going to only read verses 1 through 10 this morning. But the parables, the three parables here, I want you to look at, there's one common theme going on here. They all include the word lost. Okay? You guys know the parable of the lost son pretty well. I'm not going to read you that one. But I am going to read you the other two. The parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. Beginning at verse 1, chapter 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman who has 10 silver coins loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And then it goes into the parable of the lost son. And you guys know that story quite well, and I'll leave you at that point, the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, may you bless us with your spirit today. Lord, I pray that for those gathered here and those that are listening online, that there'll be just invaded by your spirit this morning, Lord, as they learn this message from you and how to live this Christian life and who you are. Lord, I pray too that these words are my words and never, that these words are yours and never mine. And Lord, may you fill me with that same spirit today as I bring your message to your people. May you use me in a great way. May you invade me too today. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. I have a question for you this morning. How many of you have ever lost a sock? Anybody? Yeah, we all have, right? If you do laundry, you'll know that there's always this sock floating around, or you got this one sock in your drawer that just seems to stay there forever, doesn't it? Because you can't find the other pair. And so what I find quite interesting is I was studying this word lost this morning. Did you know that the average American spends 2.5 days a year looking for lost stuff in their life? And you think, how can that be possible? How many of you have to search for the TV remote? Oh, yeah, that's a good one, huh? How much time you spend for that? How many of you have to search for your cell phone from time to time? Right? You might have your spouse or maybe a son or hey, can you call my phone? I don't know where I laid it. Right? You lose that. How about your car keys? You misplace them or your wallet? You know, from time to time we misplace stuff and we have to look for things. And so I hope that I'm under the average because that seems like an awful amount of time, 2.5 days, to be looking for stuff that is lost in our lives. And now here's another one. You'll get it, parents. How many of you have lost the sacred pacifier, right? When you lose those things, you know that you are in deep trouble, right? I mean, parents, we used to have 3 or 4 of those things that would go with you, and they'd be in the drawer, they'd be in the stroller, they'd be in the car, they'd be in the diaper bag. In case you lost one, you always had a backup, right? Yeah, so parents, and if you haven't had children today, and you're going to have children someday, you'll learn what I'm talking about in your life. And so think about that for a moment. Now, we all know what it looks like, and we understand what it means to lose something in our life. But this morning, Jesus takes this word lost, and he applies it to describe those that are not in a relationship with him. That's how it's used, lost. Don't have salvation. Don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't understand who God the Father is or the Creator. That's how he uses this word lost. And this word lost that he uses that I bring to you this morning in the Greek and so on, and I'm not going to get fancy with you today, but it's defined in a much stronger way than the way that we use the word today. And so let me just give you a few adjectives that we can use to describe this in a deeper way this morning. Because the word lost in the Bible means this: the state of being ruined, utterly destroyed, or totally decimated. That's the word lost that Jesus uses here in these parables. And that's how he describes us being outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ and not having salvation. And so let's get into this morning. As we move into this, the lesson in Luke 15 is this. If I could put it in a nutshell, God pursues the lost. That's what he's after. And that's what he does. It's bold, it's aggressive, it's never giving up is what he says to you and I in Luke 15. He actually pursues, he chases, he seeks out, and he searches for those that are lost in this world. Decimated, far from him, don't have salvation. And I think this is a great illustration of this pursuit of what loss looks like for us as well. You hunt down the one lost sheep. You turn the house upside down to find the lost coin. You rejoice when the son has a change of heart and he comes home. Now, here's what I found quite interesting now studying this past week. Did you know that in John 3:16, you know this one so well that it has the same type of word in it described the same way? Look on the screen, you'll see it there in the middle. Now, I'll read this to you, and look at the word perish, all right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not be lost, should not be destroyed, should not be decimated. And if I finish that verse, it says, go on to have eternal life, is what that says to you and I. The word perish is the same word in the Greek as lost that we see in these parables here this morning. And so what we're seeing is that Jesus pursues these types of people that don't have a faith, that don't have Jesus Christ. And that's why he tells these parables. Notice that who's gathered around him for a moment. Just picture the scene in your mind. All right, Jesus is out on the street somewhere, and he's having a conversation with tax collectors and sinners. And behind them are the religious leaders of the church. And Jesus starts sharing these parables with them. And he flips the whole idea of these religious leaders, of what they think God, how he moves, how he acts, the things he does and says. They think they got it all figured out. And then Jesus comes along and he flips the whole thing upside down. And he says, this is why I'm here. Because some of you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You think you do. You think you got it all figured out, but you're missing it. And I've come to pursue you, that you may have eternal life, is what he says. Luke 15, verse 1, if you're following along in your Bible. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. They knew, they drew near to him. Now get this, understand this, because they were comfortable with him. They were okay to be in his presence, close, maybe around his feet as he's having this conversation. He didn't pass judgment on them. He didn't look down on them. He spoke to them in a way that they could understand. He spoke truth. He spoke with love. They know where he stood. So I have a question for you this morning. And this is what I want you to think about here. On the bottom of your screen, I have a question for you. I wonder if those that are lost sinners feel as comfortable and as loved around you and I as they did around Jesus. And what is your part in that? Because if you're a believer and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're supposed to imitate him. We're supposed to act like Jesus with our love and our truth and our compassion. How are you doing in that area of your life? Do you know who the sheep represents this morning? You and I. That parable is directed at us as lost sinners. We fit into that. Often when I read it, I start thinking about somebody else. But that's not it at all. It's actually pointed to you and I as believers of Jesus Christ. And some of us are followers. Most of us probably are today. But that verse was pointed at us at one time, maybe before we gave our life to Christ. And maybe you're sitting there this morning and you haven't done that yet. That verse is for you today. Isaiah 53, verse 6. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned to our own way. Now, here's the idea I want you to think about, because it says in there that he leaves the 99 to go after the one, right? So let me just say, I got a few statements I want to read to you this morning about, here's the big idea about this chapter this morning. God pursues the lost, God pursues the one that is lost, and the value of one is great this morning. I mean, he doesn't want anybody to perish. Now, not everybody's going to get to heaven. Some will choose to not follow him in this world. But he doesn't want no one to perish. You are of great value to him. That's the lesson here this morning. Everyone that is lost is of value to Jesus. And I have a verse for that, Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Another common verse that we read so often in our lives. But so here's the point I want to make with you this morning. Young people, listen up. Old people, listen up. If you're in between there, listen closely. Right? Don't buy into the idea that you don't matter. Because it's exactly what Satan wants you to understand and to know, that you are worthless, he thinks. And all the things that Jesus teaches us about here goes against all of those things, the value of one. If you're suffering a depression, if you had suicidal thoughts and you think that your life doesn't matter in this world, I want you to know today that you do matter. The value of one. God knows who you are. He knows where you're at. He understands what you're going through. And he said, I love you. And I'm ready to leave the flock to come and get you. This is what he says. This morning, if you're not in a relationship with Jesus, that means that you're lost, number one. But here's what I think is even greater yet. You're here this morning. Because God's called you here. Because God is pursuing you. I think that's pretty cool. But my question is, will you surrender to Him? Will you let Him pursue you? Will you go where He calls you to go? So what happens once you're found? What happens once you give your life to Christ? This is the second part of the message. Once you've been saved, once you've been found, once you're no longer lost, God says, I will restore you. I'll forgive you and I'll restore you in your life. You know, God's in the restoration business. How many of you have watched the show Fixer Upper before? Chip and Joanna Gaines. Look, I have not seen that many hands in a long time. Fixer Upper, right? You guys watch it on, Dory and I have watched it over the years, and Chip and Joanna. I mean, they're good Christian people. How many of you have been to Plano, Texas and seen where they live and they got their shop down there? I know some of you have been there, right? It's on my wife's bucket list, so that means that it must be on mine too that we'll go there. So, but what do? Right? They take old, dilapidated houses that need a lot of work, and you might wonder, is it worth it? You're going to put this much money into it? And they restore it, and they remodel it, and Joanna, she's got an eye for decorating and how it's going to look. And Chip, he's kind of a fly-off-the-handle type of guy, and he's kind of the comedian in the relationship, and he's the one that does the construction part, and he makes it happen, right? And they restore this house. You get the picture. What I want you to know is that God in your life is no different than Fixer Upper. He takes a dilapidated person who's got issues and problems and all kinds of things. And when you give your life to Christ, He restores, He rebuilds, He renews. Amen? That's what it's about. God's in the fixer-upper business. People's lives have been changed because of what He has done. Some of you have quite the stories. I've been there myself. God changes people like you wouldn't believe. He takes the broken, takes the marred that we read in Jeremiah. He takes the spoiled clay, and He fashions it, He forms it, and He molds it into something special that you and I are called to do as followers of Jesus Christ in this world today. Jeremiah 18, verse 6, this is a pretty powerful verse when you read it. Behold, like clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. So are you. Clay. Put that image in your mind this morning. The clay, you and I, in order to conform to what the potter's designing, what the potter, it must be worked and reworked, and it's got to be shaped and formed. You know, you've seen that before, somebody making a pot or whatever. The lumps in the clay got to be worked out, got to be smoothed out, where it's spoiled, where it's marred, has to be remade, reshaped. It's an incredible picture of what God does in our lives when He reworks us, when He restores us. Incredible picture. So this morning, I have three simple points that I want you to take out of the book of Jeremiah this morning that I want you to understand about this verse. And here's the first one. We are all broke. Some of you think, yeah, I don't have any money to buy groceries. No, I'm not talking about that. You are spiritually broke without Christ. You know nothing without Christ. You might think you do, but you know nothing until Christ enters into your life and you receive Him and you get reshaped. Then you start to figure out what this life is truly about. And for some of you that are following Christ, and you have been for many years, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We are all broken. Romans 3:23, for all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us. You're not good enough to make it to heaven on your own. Everyone has been broken. Here's Jeremiah's translation. For all are spoiled, is what the Bible says. We're all spoiled. And the only solution for spoiled clay, sinful people, is that we be refashioned and we be reshaped by the potter. That's the picture of salvation. Changed in Christ. The only solution for sin is Jesus Christ and the Word of God. That's it. There are no other answers. There's no other place to go. That's it. This is the map, like Al said. Right there. You have it right in front of you. When you submit your life to the potter's hands, he begins to form and fashion you. And this is such a powerful verse too. And you know what I'm talking about. Out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You are a new creation. See, that's what Jeremiah says. When we give our life to Christ, we get reshaped and reformed. You become a new creation. A new you. Better and improved. A new model. However you want to look at it in your life. You know, once we've been remade by God, you've given your life to Christ. See, sometimes people think that, oh, that's it then. I'm good, right? I've made it. I've arrived. Wrong. No, you haven't yet. This shaping continues throughout your whole entire life. Any of you been wondering what I've got this Play-Doh up here for this morning? Let me just share with you this morning about being reworked. Let me bring you the next point a minute. Then I'll get the Play-Doh out. Only God can restore the broken. You can't fix anybody. You can share the good news of Christ, but God's the fixer. God restores. So here's what I want you to think about in your life. Now, some of us, I had to go to the store this past week in the Play-Doh. I haven't been in that section of the store in a long time. I got some different clay up here today. This could all represent our lives. And I'll explain it just in a moment here, but what I want you to know is that as you follow Christ, these stages that we go through, because sometimes you're close to Christ, you are soft, you're pliable, you can be shaped into something, you're in Scripture, you're praying, God's molding, right, in your life. And then you get a little further away from Christ, and you get a little sin in your life. Does anybody ever get messy? You know, you get Play-Doh, and it gets all the color. Look at, see, it gets all the colors get in there. Life gets messy, doesn't it? Yeah, that's the sin that comes into our life. And I want to share with you this morning that sin can pull us away from God. And I left this lump sit out all week. You think it's very pliable? Do you think that it can be molded very well? Pretty hard this morning. I can move it a little bit. It's probably going to break apart when I try to do that. Right? This is what sin does to people when you don't ask for forgiveness. This is what life looks like. You get hardened in your life as you experience things. Some of us might get hardened by, God, why did you allow my loved one to die? My heart gets hardened. God, why did you allow this business of mine to fail? And your heart gets hardened. God, why does that son or daughter doesn't want nothing to do with me anymore? And I live in a broken relationship with him, and my heart gets harder, further away from God. Some of us that have been walking with the Lord a long time, we've lived a lot of life, and life hasn't been very easy. We become hard. And that's what Jeremiah is trying to tell. He goes to the potter, and notice he has a conversation with God, and then Jesus stands in front of the religious leaders, and he said, "You religious leaders, your hearts are hard. You think you got faith figured out? I've come to save the lost." Where's your heart this morning? Is it like this? Because this is what God's asking for, that you'll be shapeable, that you'll listen to what the word says, and get this, is you need to do it. This, people, is useless to God. This is somebody who's far from God, but yet they might be in church. Yet they might pray, but they're not shapeable. They still run their own life. And that's not what God's looking for. Some of you, your hearts are pretty hard because of life. What do you think God has to do with a heart like that? If he's going to mold it and he's going to shape it, he's got to break it. And I wish I had a sheet of plywood up here and I had a sledgehammer and this is rock hard, because I would shatter it. And I'd watch it go into a million pieces, because when your heart gets hard before God and he has to break you, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's going to hurt like crazy. And maybe you're in that place today where you've run your life for so many years and you think you got it figured out, and you've got a hard heart and you're far from God, and God says, "I'm pursuing you." And you resist and you back away from God, at some point, he's going to break you. And he'll get your attention. And that breaking can look so many different ways in your life. He'll take things away. He might take people away from you. He might do things to your business that you never thought of. And until he gets you to a place where you can be shaped and molded, he won't quit. What's his goal, people? To save the who? The lost. This is what salvation looks like. Not like this. The religious leaders of the church in Jesus' day were all about the rules and how to make it look. Jesus came and said, "This is what it's supposed to be like, people." Is your heart soft? Does it love well? Does it run and go to where God calls you to? Or does it resist? "No, I can't do that. I'll never have the words to speak to that person about that. I can't ask for forgiveness. I can't go to them and say, 'You know, I'm sorry that I messed up this relationship so bad, neighbor.'" See, this kind of heart does that. So how's your heart this morning? If you don't keep your heart close to Christ, pursue him, let the Spirit move in you, be in the Word every day, pray, be in church, be part of the community of believers in the world. This is you today. And you're worthless to God. That might sound kind of harsh, but I intend it to be that way today. Because you're not a follower at that point. I'm not here to judge you today, but I just want you to know that God sees your heart. And he knows which one you have. And I'll guarantee you, we all look like this. I'm going to leave this late here so next week we can come back and see who we are. before God. The hardening of your heart can lead you to a place of extreme brokenness. Here's what it looks like. I'm afraid. I'm grieving. I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. I'm sick of it. I'm tired. I'm angry. And really what your heart is screaming is, help, I'm broken. I need Christ to reshape me, to remold me. Listen to me. Do not keep running from God. You're in the right place. You're in the potter's house today. You're hearing the word of God for your life. God can restore. He can get rid of the brokenness that you're living in right now today. And here's the final point I want to make with you this morning. God wants to restore you. Now, I don't know if you want to be restored. I hope you do. But God wants to restore you. That's the love he has for you and I. That's his nature. That's why Christ came, to restore you and I. On the back of your sheet, I don't have time to read this morning. There's a poem. You go home and read it. It's called The Touch of the Master's Hand. It's a good poem. Read that poem today. Ephesians 2 uses the word workmanship to describe his work in our life. And actually that word means poem, right? God is writing a poem, a story with your life and how you live it and what you do with it. He writes your story. And this poem does a good job of explaining that. The master, the potter, God, and where he can take your life, that lump of clay that you are, and how he can restore it. So back to Fixer Upper. You know what my favorite part is? When you get to the end, they roll out this big picture of the old house, right? And the family gathers there, and Chip and Joanne are you excited to see your house? And, you know, you spent all kinds of money on this thing, and then they roll it out, and what is the look on the people's faces? Shock and awe, yeah. They're new, they're different, it's changed. And I got one on the screen here this morning of what that old house looked like and now what it looks like today, right? The before and after. What's so great about this is that when you let God change your life, people see the before and after in your life. And when people see the before and after in your life, they start to ask, what happened to them? They might come and ask you. Discipleship, right here. God changed me. And you get to share. Man, Bill, you used to be just a drop in the, you know, and I don't mean to pick on any Bills here today. Or man, Tom, you used to be angry when you came to work. Or boy, Sarah, what has happened to you? You're actually joyful and uplifting now. Because God's restored. God's made you new. You're a new creation. Christ is the ultimate fixer-upper. That's who he calls us to. So if you're lost this morning, you know how to be found. If you're dry and your faith is dusty and it's hard, you know how to get healed. Just ask Jesus Christ. Reshape me. Lord, remold me. Make me new. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray today that as we learn from Jeremiah, as he went to the potter's house that day, what he learned, Lord, and how you spoke to him, that so speaks to us today. Lord, you pursue and you restore. And may we never forget that. There are some here today that need to hear that. They need to be pursued And there are some that need to be restored today, Lord. And may your work begin in them. Lord, in all of us, may we continue to seek you. May we draw closer to you. May we be that soft clay that can be molded and shaped for your kingdom. And may we be okay with that. Help us to set aside the selfishness that we might have in our lives, that it wants to always be about us. But Lord, may it be about you today and your kingdom. Thank you for the love that you have for us. In Jesus I pray. Amen.